Welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're not doing any of that because we're going to talk about all the games we played in our last year of Comrade, season two.
Yeah, season two of Check It Out, Comrade, episodes 26 through 51.
Yeah.
That includes this one.
Yeah, so we did on the 25th episode a very similar kind of look back and look forward at what we've already reviewed, what we're still playing from there, and what games are going to be coming out in the following year that we are interested in perhaps doing on the show, which I didn't go back to, so I have no idea what we talked about.
Me either.
So that's fine, but still, there's plenty to talk about of the games that we have played this season, and what of those still kind of stick to us as among the best. Yeah. So we
played a lot of games. Like I just did a quick count. I could be off by one or two, but I think we have 43 games.
I think it's 43 games.
So that's a lot. I mean, we didn't beat all of them, obviously. Some of them, you couldn't. Some of them we did, though. And like, that's one thing I'm always thankful of doing the podcast, where it like keeps me playing new games constantly.
Exactly. That's the best part about this, is that we get exposed to a whole bunch of different looks at different sorts of stuff from people who like the great thing about indie games too, is there's a lot more exploration and how
we don't even touch any of them. Like, there are probably podcasts that do come out more frequently or cover more games per episode who are have a wider breadth, and they still don't even get a fraction
of what's indie actually coming out. Way too big now. Like, if you look on even just on what's released on Steam any given week, it's like there's no way to touch all that. But we I like to think we hit most of the high points over the course of a year. So
as with last year, we're going to talk about stuff we're looking forward to. We're also going to kind of revisit and say, like, what's aged really well, what's aged kind of poorly,
right?
For you, is there anything that you went back and visited that you have more things to say about? So I'll let you go first, Nick, and you can choose a positive or a negative. If you're looking at the list we have here in front of us, is there anything that's like, oh, I definitely spent time with this since then and really love it, or the more I think about this game, I like it even less?
Sure. So let's just go ahead and get out of the way that Rebirth and Afterbirth you and I are gonna be playing forever until our graves.
Yes.
So
and there's anyone.
And there's Afterbirth Plus coming out, so obviously that's going to be something that we're going to look forward to next year.
Yes.
But let's ignore those when we're talking about kind of the best stuff that's still sticking out.
Even though I did just beat Isaac and Blue Baby with the Keeper.
Oh, you lucky dog. I've only done Greed Mode with him so far.
He's the worst. He's really hard.
I still have some Mega Satan kills to get on other characters since
I need to do. I haven't been grinding those, so
yeah,
that's on my list too.
Then I'll go back and do Keeper, and then I'll probably unlock the Lost now that I've got Holy Mantle.
The Holy Mantle, yeah. So. It'll be, in some ways, it will be easier than the Keeper.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Because you can fly, and because your Holy Mantle resets every room, whereas the Keeper, it's like, once you get hit that one time, you're on, super coin search.
Yep.
Or you're fucked.
I'm sure there's some good items that break them, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. other games. So, I don't think I had any game like this last year, because there isn't a whole lot of indie competitive stuff, but I'm still playing Rocket League.
Yeah.
I really, really like that game. They've been releasing like some sort of content update with like free maps and some downloadable like cosmetics and stuff and new game modes since the release. And me and my friends just keep coming back to it. It's kind of replaced Counter-Strike as my go-to competitive game for a bit.
Yeah. I'm really happy that that game is doing as well as it is. Like, it's showing up on a lot of kind of best of lists for people, and people really, really love it. And even though like I'm not a competitive gamer, like I'm not to echo too much of what I said in the actual episode, like that game deserves all of the credit it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like it's a really good it deserves everything that's happening for it, because it's putting it out free at first on PS Plus was really genius,
so smart,
because they're making so much money.
Yeah,
and it's so like, I want the future where I watch that at like tournaments. That's my esports game, because it's like, I've watched matches online, and even though I'm not deep in it, I can appreciate it. Like, it's still really awesome to see really good plays in Rocket League. Like,
I think so one great thing about that game over kind of all other competitive games is that the time it takes to get an understanding of the mechanics and how hard it can be to do good, like great execution on that game is like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you spend 5 minutes of that game and you understand everything there is to know about, wow, that guy's real fucking good at that game.
It's easy to learn, but difficult to master.
Which is, exactly the mantra that everyone trying to do competitive does. So.
Yeah, what you want in a what you want in a competitive game.
Right.
It is It's really, really good. I haven't gone back to it. Now that I live with Will, it's possible that we'll do some more playing it because he's a really big fan.
Yeah, you can do play with each other online or against mm-hmm. bots. So that's probably a good time.
Yeah, just yell back and forth between our rooms.
Yeah. So what have you, what are you still enjoying or what did you go back to and still really love?
I'm still really excited for the final release of Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
I love that game. I played it a lot after we finished the episode.
It's really good. I haven't played as much as you, but I did enjoy it a lot.
I really like the game is the more I like two things it's done that I think are really awesome is that like I figured out, and I don't know if I had this figured out when we did the episode on it, but I think that the way that they handle the gating for character levels versus dungeon levels is really mm-hmm. elegant. Huh. Because you're going to lose your people. You know, it tells you that right. Like you're going to lose the first guys you get who you really are attached to, but because you have to constantly be raising new people, you're always going to have someone right there to replace them. So it's this real constant stream of like, oh God, no.
Right.
But it's also not that big a deal, you know, because you've already, they tricked you into doing the work to plan for that contingency
right.
without you knowing it. The other thing they did is I really love is that the people are still working on it, the developers. I think the official version comes out in January or March year. Comes out pretty soon. So they've added new characters and stuff. The new characters are all really fun. But they also added this system where when you kill somebody, it leaves a corpse. So you have to get rid of that before the spacing moves up.
Oh,
And this idea where everyone now has a limit of 200 for their stress. But if their stress gets to 200, they die. They have a heart attack.
Oh, shit.
The community was like, hey, this is too harsh. So the developers were just like, okay. And it's optional. And whoa. Like those kind of difficulty things, I love that idea. Like some people were like, oh, that's stupid that they just make it optional. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, that's like, so really smart.
Adding a challenge mode to the option rather than just being like, it's our thing, we say so,
yeah,
is not very good. Like this is just like, I like player controlled difficulty for stuff like this. And I really like the idea because I like to play with the heart attacks on. I think that's a good consequence mm-hmm. for that. But I don't like the bodies because spacing is so important
that's really in the game. Cool.
Yeah.
That's, I hear a lot about that sort of stuff too, where it's like people being real mad about changes or someone like, finding like a money glitch in a single player game and they use mm-hmm. it to make the game easier for themselves and someone like rages against that. It's like, it's a single player game.
Totally.
Like just let people let play, me play how they want to play. Play it.
Yeah. It's you're not hurting anybody. And I always, I'm in favor of all that and you can do cheats and stuff. And that's why one of the reasons I like PC gaming, especially, old PC gaming where you can fuck around with the console and do what you want. Cause I own it. I bought the thing. Let me do what I want to it.
Yeah. Like I would have never played any GTAs if it wasn't for the cheat codes that let you do whatever the fuck you wanted in them.
Totally. Like it doesn't seem that different to me. And this is just, I love that reaction to a negative fan outrage rather than freaking out or being huge babies about it or anything like that. It's just saying like, oh, okay, well, like now you can flip it off if you want. We're going to leave it in because we think it's cool and maybe you guys will grow to like it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to force you to grow to like it.
That's really cool.
I think that's awesome. What else? What's another good game that what's aged well? Not necessarily your favorite game we've done this year. We'll build up to that.
Yeah, I'm taking a look through again real quick.
Or what's the thing that you wish that you want to, like maybe you came away from it and you wanted to spend more time with it and didn't and might still?
Pillars of Eternity is the one I haven't gone completely back to yet. Mm-hmm. And they've already released one DLC for it and the second part of that is coming out early next year. Mm-hmm. So I really see myself going back to it because I really enjoyed what I played of it, but it's a CRPG and it's a real big time suck. So it's been hard for me to put the time into that, especially with some bigger releases that aren't really Comrade related that I've been playing too. I'm definitely planning on going back to that one still. I do really, really love that game, even if I haven't completed it.
Yeah, that game is aged really well for me. Like I want to play once both DLCs come out, I'm going to revisit it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that game. Same thing with I want to redo the collector's edition of Wasteland when I feel like replaying that too.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And I still need to do Divinity too. I got even less far in that one. And,
yeah.
I think I'm going to try and get back to that one at some point too. Perhaps trying to convince my girlfriend to play co-op with me.
There's couch co-op and stuff, that would be really awesome.
Maybe we might end up having to do some revamp episodes with games that have had new DLC or enhancements that we want to go back to.
We can do a revisit themed.
Because this also wasn't this season, but there's a real big patch for Kerbal Space Program coming out where they're going to be, like, they've changed so much, especially about like the UI and the user experience as far as like tutorializing and stuff like that. Campaign mode is like hugely fleshed out already, and they're adding more to it with the next update. That's also coming out early next year too. So yeah, we might end up having to do something like that.
I would
give us an excuse.
I would be interested in trying that again with a slightly easier user experience, because that was really my big problem, was not, you know, not knowing what to do and not having the time necessarily to like just press against every seam until it worked.
Right.
I mirror you. Like, I want to play the rest of Pillars of Eternity, the rest of the things. I would like to play the Collector's Edition Wasteland 2. Mm-hmm. There are a couple games that came out I just didn't beat that I really liked. Like, I never beat Sunless Sea, and I really liked Sunless Sea. I would like to spend some more time with that. The one thing about that, like, this is, again, I just keep referencing Will because I talk to him about games now that I live with him, but like, like the movement speed being so slow, it's like, I get it, but also, you know, it does make
a little bit,
in a roguelike, it's like, that's kind of frustrating.
That game is very slow paced, and it is roguelike, so it is easy to lose all of your progress or get into an endless negative cycle where you're going to start over at some point.
Yeah.
The pacing does kind of hold that back a little bit for me too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but I would like to, you know, I would like to give it, because the things that I liked about it, I liked a lot.
Oh yeah, I'm a real big fan of that setting and the general play of it, like going around to the different locations and finding it's like, we made that comparison already, but it's like Urquan Masters, like it's talking to a bunch of different people and progressing the game by like finding their needs against other people's or other locations' needs and stuff.
Yep,
it is really good.
I'm just throwing out categories. Stuff, do you mind that I'm just prompting you on stuff?
No, please.
Is that bothering? Looking at the list, what's biggest disappointment? Because last year the machine, the trade out comrade machine for pigs award for biggest disappointment in indie games.
We played a lot of really good stuff.
We did. We had a good year. Like looking at this, like we had a good year.
I would say the biggest kind of disappointment versus what I was hoping for, I guess, maybe, probably would have been Axiom Verge. It didn't hold on to me like I was like hoping for. Like, I felt I was in a pretty good mood for another Metroidvania. I hadn't had one anytime recently. It just didn't manage to grip me. And a lot of people were saying really great things about it, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I like that. I'm with you. I agree with that. I'm not necessarily my biggest one, but I definitely agree with that. Like, and that's something, again, it's not like I'll never play it. You know, maybe someday I'll have some extra time and just like really feel like a Metroidvania.
Right.
And be like, I'll try that again, because there are some things to like about it. But boy, like, it just didn't grab me.
Yep.
Looking at the list, I was, this is kind of obvious. And I guess disappointment might not be the best word, because like, I didn't have high hopes. But like, Hack and Slash is such a terrible goddamn game.
It is bad. And it could, like, the idea is good.
Yeah.
That's what's shameful, I guess, is that. It sounds like such a cool concept. Zelda, where you can reprogram the world and use that to solve all the puzzles. No, it's terrible execution.
But that's a really bad game and hugely disappointing. And like, it wasn't the last nail in the coffin, because I was already angry at like Double Fine, but like, I can't, like, I don't know. I really feel like there's no chance Psychonauts 2 will be good. Like, it'll be funny. It will be funny. Eric Walpole's writing it. It will be a funny game.
But it will be funny.
We get funny games from those guys. Like, it just happens. We get it. Like, they make funny games, but they don't make good games, and it sucks. That's probably, as far as disappointments go, that's probably it. I was also mildly disappointed. Like, I really liked Shadowrun Hong Kong, but I didn't like it as much as Dragonfall.
That's true.
I was expecting that series to just kind of continuously get better.
That would be cool. Like,
yeah.
Nah, but I'm with you.
But I still recommend everybody play that. Like, it's still a great game. It's just not as good.
I still count it as my second. Like, if anyone asked about it, like, the Steam sale came up and I was like, oh my god, Dragon Ball is $3.
Yeah, you have to play Dragon Ball. Like, it's great. It. Yeah.
And then if anyone continues on, it's like, oh, like, that series is good. It's like, yeah, that's definitely the best of them. And then probably Hong Kong and then Returns.
If you like Dragon Ball, which you will, and just want some more, play Hong Kong's
right there for you.
Hong Kong's right there. But yeah, like, like Hack and Slash, I think, is the most disappointing slash probably worst game that we played this year for the show.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, probably.
And also, like, I throw in a little shade for A Good Snowman Is Hard to Build.
Yeah, that was very good.
I don't like people, and I'm friends with a lot of people who I think are friends with that guy on Twitter. So there's a lot of like pimping it, and it's just like, this game's adorable, but no one ever says like, this game is not just Sokoban.
Yeah, I love Sokoban. No one loves Sokoban.
Yeah. Nobody loves Sokoban.
I mean, it's kind of the same circle is also real big on jazz punk, and
yeah, and that was a big disappointment too.
That was a sad episode of us railing on shit.
Yeah, like because that is just that game really was. That seems like it's up my alley. And I just, that's humor though for you. And it's at least with Psychonauts 2, I think it actually will be funny.
Right.
If Psychonauts 2 was 3 hours like Jazz Punk is, I would definitely get through it.
That's true.
Just for the, you know, cause it'd be like a funny version of it, but it'll be, you know, Jazz Punk, which played just fine, or at least was like easy going down.
Right.
You know, was not very funny and yep. tried to be, which is worse than not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And then, Psychonauts 2 will be really funny, but you'll have to like swallow it sideways. You know, there's no way it'll be easy going down.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt that way about Psychonauts 1, but I also thought some of the levels were really good. So there's kind of
some of them are like super cool, but you have to deal with a lot of bullshit.
You have to deal with a lot of bullshit for sure.
That's in like me and Cole's In Case of Emergency, Break Glass, Watch Out for Fireballs thing. But like, we had to be ready for it because it's going to be, you know, we didn't like Metroid Prime and people got mad, and like, this is even more beloved than that. So it's like, we just had to be ready to get a lot of shit.
Understood. Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're welcome to throw a hate rail at Undertale again if you want.
I don't need to. Like I've said enough about it. Like it hasn't aged well for me. Like it's something where it's like,
I've noticed that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't separate that from like the fact that I had to defend not liking it.
Yeah. For you and, specifically, I can tell like your feelings recording Comrade, much gentler than they've been since.
Because I spent several days just kind of people just being like, no, you're wrong. And it's like, well, that's going to make anybody double down on what they think.
Understood.
It's also the fandom has gotten more rabid and more, you know, I can't remember if I talked about this in the episode, but I found myself, and this is similar, like I'm not super interested in the new Star Wars. I don't dislike it. I haven't seen it, but I'm not like way into Star Wars stuff. I'm a little sick of the hype.
Right.
But I found myself in this position of being like, on the side of media I'm not interested in or don't like from a culture war perspective, like Undertale, like there's no way in any universe that it's the best game of all time.
Yeah.
But that made a lot of Gamergate guys mad. So I'm kind of into it. Like I like those people freaking out and thinking it's a conspiracy theory. Like good job. You know, like I'm glad that got the, and then same thing with like, you know, I'm not super interested in Star Wars. I'm sick of seeing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. However, MRAs and shitheads are saying that like it's social justice warriors ruining their favorite franchise. Good. Fuck those guys. So like, I don't like the actual media, but I'm happy it exists from a culture war standpoint.
Yeah.
Like Undertale is a powerful ally. Even if I don't like him, he's like Cypher in Final Fantasy VIII. Like I'm Squall and it's Cypher. And it's like, you know, ultimately we come to an understanding and he's on the side of good.
Yeah.
You know, he'll tragically die to the thing and I'll live on long like after it's dead.
The thing about the Game Facts poll that Undertale ended up winning, I think, or was up against Zelda at least, mm-hmm. was that never would have happened if all the amazingly fucking funny posts came out of people being so mad that it was doing well.
Totally. It was the Streisand effect.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, we're like the, you know the origin of that, right? So like Barbara Streisand, somebody used a picture of her house in like a promotional video.
Uh-huh.
And, it was like not, I guess it was not, she didn't like it. There was either not flattering or she just didn't like it.
Right.
And like 7 people had seen the video. So she just happened to come upon it. If she had just been quiet, like nobody would have done it, but she made a huge deal out of it.
Uh-huh.
So all the news outlets picked up and it's like Barbara Streisand freaking out. And they got them to take it down, but because it's the internet and everything's permanent, millions of people saw that video that wouldn't have otherwise. So like, if you just would have chilled out, you know, and not like freaked out about it, you know, it probably would not have done as well.
Exactly.
And something, Marcus from Epic Name Bro, the Dark Souls guy,
right.
said something on Twitter where he's like, this has nothing to do with what games are better and has everything to do with the Game Facts demographic changing, which is totally like, that's true too.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's a place for Homestuck kids now. You just have to accept
absolutely
it.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. Yep. You like Homestuck? You like Undertale? Great. Good on you. Yeah,
there's a place for you.
Yep, there is a place for you. It's gamefacts.com.
There and TV Tropes and
yep,
Tumblr.
And Tumblr. And that's the go for it. you know, it's again, I'm on your side for most things and consider you to be a powerful ally. But yeah, it doesn't I've successfully gone, you know, several like a week without even having to think about Undertale, so or have it kind of shoved in my face. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that
looking forward to. Let's do looking forward to, and then say what we think is the absolute like the best game we played last year for the show.
Sure. So as a kind of first portion to looking forward to, what's stuff that is say recently released or something that we haven't gotten to yet that you'd like to do in the next season?
I want to play Under Rail.
Yeah. That's on my list right here too.
I feel like I was complaining about Undertale as a being a JRPG thing, and someone was like, this kind of sounds like Undertale and it's a WRPG. Let's summon into existence for Gary. Like, Gary's been mad at Fallout 3 lately. What happens if they made a Fallout 3 that wasn't 3D?
Yeah.
It'd be like this.
It looks like an old classic Fallout, and I'm pretty excited about seeing what it's like.
Yeah, it's getting really good reviews and stuff. People really like it. I can't wait to play it because I just finished Fallout 3 for the show and like playing Fallout 4, and I'm really looking forward to like the un-Bethesdizing of my favorite, you know, fictional universe.
Me too.
So I'm really excited about that. How about you?
After our talk of Soma, a lot of people started firing back with Talos Principle, which we both talked about, but we haven't played yet. I picked it up in the sale on the cheap, so I'm definitely going to put some time into that at some point, and hopefully we'll get it onto the show, because I've heard great things for a long time. We just never got around to it, because it's kind of a larger and more pricey game. So, I've got that now in my hands, and I feel like we'll probably end up doing it at some point.
Yeah, I bought it on sale. I've had it for a while and want to play it.
Nice.
On a similar vein, I want to play The Magic Circle.
What's the Magic Circle? I'm not familiar.
It is a walking simulator kind of puzzly game that is apparently so Will really likes it. Bob Mackey, I was talking to him on Twitter today, and he was talking about he doesn't like the Beginner's Guide, and he was saying like the same themes are expressed better in the Magic Circle.
I love
the Beginner's Guide.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just curious to try it though, because it's supposed to be really interesting. You know, it hits that same place where it's about the creative process, which like I like.
Yeah.
But it's and it also sounds a little bit like a better version of Hack and Slash, because there are elements of like hacking or programming the game. Like you're trapped in an unfinished game.
Oh, interesting.
And you can hear the creators of it throughout.
That sounds pretty cool. I'm up for that.
Yeah, I'm super down for it. Like, I really want to play that, and it may end up being like, you know, who knows if the Beginner's Guide might end up suffering comparison, but regardless of which, it's at least worth me checking out.
Yeah. And then the only thing I could think of kind of in this category right now is that we were both gifted by Mitch Dungeon of the Endless and West Dorado, which both have gotten great reviews and look really good. So
I definitely think
we'll be putting those on early next season somewhere.
Yeah. Thanks, Mitch. Just because we haven't done them yet doesn't mean we don't appreciate it, because we'll definitely do them.
Yeah.
That's probably like the 2015 stuff we'll do. Like, we'll probably stick mostly to 2016 stuff.
Yep. There's from a there lot on. Coming out.
There's a lot coming out.
I have a real big list here that I want to talk about a little bit here.
Since I don't have the list, let me throw something out there real quick that I know just off the top of my head. I bet you the season 2 of The Last Door will wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
In 2016. Yeah, I think it's 3 episodes of 5 done now.
Nice.
And I really want to continue that story.
Yeah, let's go for it. I loved the first season.
Yeah.
We both talked really highly of that. It's really good.
Yeah, Last Door is really, really good. So I'm looking forward to that wrapping up. I've just avoided playing the episodes because it's episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Understood. Yeah, I haven't touched it since we did the episode either. So that sounds great. So I saw a little bit about some stuff that I know has currently 2015 or 2016 as the release year, if they don't have any dates yet. Jonathan Blow's new game, The Witness, is supposed to be coming out. I've seen pictures and it looks very pretty, but I don't know anything about it otherwise.
I do, and what I do know about it, I don't like.
Oh, okay, great.
it's supposed to be... like it takes place, and it's supposed to kind of take some inspiration from Myst.
Yeah, that's kind
of. And there's
I got
just
too.
Kind of puzzles floating around. Like it's not like, you know, there. It doesn't. I'm sure there'll be a twist to it or something, because, you know, it's Jonathan Blow. But the idea of there just being like, well, you just walk up to this panel and there's a puzzle on it. You do.
Yeah.
And then that opens up the next area is the last thing I want.
Right. Well, so, and this game has been in the works for so long, and it's the only other game other than Braid that John Blow has his name on.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking to see whether this will kind of prove that he is the developer that he thinks he is.
Yeah, totally. Like this will be, you know, because at some point, like, it's just, he's just done one thing. So,
right.
And no matter how cool Braid is, like, it'll be, you know, we'll want to see where he takes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do I have here? No Man's Sky is another one that's technically indie. That's going to be on PS4 and PC that is also hugely hyped.
Yeah, nobody knows what you do in it.
Right.
So that's that makes me worried that they made a really beautiful tech demo. But I will check that out.
What's interesting to me is that's the team making that, all they made previous to this was Joe Danger.
That's a weird thing for them to do this pretty introspective game.
Yeah.
After making Joe Danger.
Joe Danger's fun, though. Like, it's an arcade little, you know, motorcycle, excite bike type deal. But
no, it's not a bad game. It just looks really different than Endless Sky.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge jump, but they did make two good games. I wonder if good carries over when you make everything a billion times more expansive in ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what happens with that.
I'll throw out another one because I don't have a list, but I just have things off of my head. And this is if we don't end up covering it for Bonfire Side Chat, but I think Salt and Sanctuary comes out first quarter.
I have that on my list too. So if you guys are hard up for content on Bonfire Side, obviously I think you guys should definitely play that. It definitely is that audience would love to see you guys talk about more stuff.
And there's no reason we can't do both. We did Shovel Knight on both shows. So
I don't know, you guys did Shovel Knight on.
Yeah,
on
we did it during an interstitial season.
Oh, cool.
Just did a close up, you know, 2-hour version of Shovel Knight.
Nice. So. Yeah, it's on my list. It definitely looks good. I don't think we've seen much of it since I think E3 or something. But yeah, I'm interested to see how well thought out Dark Souls Z mechanics managed to transfer over to 2D. I've also got, there's a lot of really pretty games coming out. Hyper Light Drifter's got some hype behind
it.
Oh
yeah.
That game looks so good.
Yeah, that does look nice.
And Below, which is the new Capybara game. Another one that's kind of, so far all we've seen really is a lot of real heavy visuals focus. Mm-hmm. Have I told you about, or have you found on your own, Enter the Gungeon?
No, we've talked about it though.
Okay.
I know it from something, but I haven't played it. It's like I watched Northern Lion play it a little bit,
he talked
about it.
There was, he had a real early preview of it. And it looks like Isaac with guns, which could be great, could be nothing. But I'm interested to see what it's like anyway.
Yeah. At some point next year, we'll probably do Firewatch.
Yeah.
I might be able to get somebody from Campo Santo on the show too.
Oh, nice.
For that, because those guys all share a studio with the Video Game Hot Dog guys, and I've met a couple of them. But yeah, that's something I don't know a lot about. I feel like the trailers don't. I haven't been able to get hyped for it because I like those guys, but I don't know them well enough to know. Like, I obviously I love The Walking Dead, and some of the people who still worked on the first season of The Walking Dead.
Right.
The trailers don't show enough to get me excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like a walking simulator. Right. And whatever the secrets they're hiding or whatever the hook is going to be, I feel like it's kind of hidden in that. But I mean, I'm looking forward to trying it for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever be able to dig into this one enough for us to want to do it on the show, but Paradox is coming out with a grand strategy game that is actually set in space instead of terrible like ancient Europe, which might actually be enough to get me to try a Paradox game.
Well, not me.
No?
Okay. I'm okay. That's not a Gary game, but it can also be a book report, the kind of thing too, like TIS 100.
Yeah. We'll see how that ends up going.
Yeah.
And I think that's all the kind of big names that I'm familiar with that are going to be stuff coming out. I have a couple. Oh, there's Cosmic Star Heroine, which is the Zeboid Kickstarter game.
Oh, yeah.
That's looking really good. I pitched in on that back when, and Zeboid doing something a little bit longer could be hit or miss for us because neither of us are big JRPG fans, but we both like how Zeboid did their short takes on them.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see how that goes. And then I believe Torment Tides of Numenera has a slated 2016 release date currently.
And that will definitely be a long, one long episode because it's been so long I forgot that was coming out, but that's on my most anticipated list for sure.
They definitely kickstarted that one early knowing it was early.
Yeah.
But what I do like is that they did the Wasteland 2 director's cut, which upgraded the engine a bunch and focused more on your user interface and user experience stuff. So I assume, since it's the same team, that a lot of the improvements that already came through the greater player base play testing Wasteland will transfer over into a better out the door experience from Torment.
I think so too. Hopefully.
And then the forever, who knows when these games will be released, but Barkley 2 and Frog Fractions 2.
Frog Fractions 2, Barkley 2, and Mugenics.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mugenics is on hiatus.
Indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, indefinite hiatus until I believe they get the mobile Meat Boy out.
Oh, okay.
Meat Boy Forever, I believe, is a mobile version of Meat Boy with completely kind of different mechanics and levels. Like, it's a Meat Boy game, but not a port of Super Meat Boy.
The actual Meat Boy.
They're focusing entirely on a Meat Boy that works for mobile, not just a port of Meat Boy that works on mobile. So yeah, the Mugenics will be at some point in the future. I have stickers everywhere that I I really hope that game does at some point come out, because it's Cats and it's Edmund. And
yeah, it'll be. I'm looking forward to it as well. And there's 2016 is a big year.
Yeah,
that could definitely come out.
We did not name 43 games, so we could do these and more.
There'll be dozens that we haven't heard of.
Yeah,
and stuff. So that is another reason why, if you are if you're listening and you want to suggest things, you definitely can when things pop out.
Yeah,
it is good
do.
To have people tell us about what's happened.
A lot of stuff we played definitely came about through suggestion this last year. So. We always appreciate when something's passed under our radar and we need to give it a better look.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So what, looking back on the list, what's your favorite game that we played?
Do we have to rule out Afterbirth?
Yeah. Let's say Afterbirth is probably the answer for both of us, and then do second favorite.
Okay. Well, I think that this is hard. We might both pick this, cause, I really, really liked Soma, and I don't think it's just cause it's fresh in my mind. I did really, really like Soma.
I really love Soma too. I don't know if it's hard for me to say that, like, it beats Pillars.
Yeah.
For me, like, Pillars is really, really good.
Pillars is really fucking good.
Pillars is really good. And then,
but I didn't manage to beat Pillars. So I think that it probably, maybe when I go back, it'll end up getting its top spot knocked out. Yeah. But
the ending of Pillars is good. Like, it's good stuff happens. It's also like, you know, there's a difference between, like, kind of what you think of as the best too, because Soma definitely, like, hit an emotional core for me.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing with the Beginner's Guide.
Yeah, Beginner's Guide did too.
Beginner's Guide's really up there. Like, that, like, you know, as far as games that I'm looking at this list that, like, made me closest to crying, that's 100% on there. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's got the, like, the Gone Home Memorial Dude Missed Award from Check It Out, Comrade.
I agree. Yeah, Beginner's Guide got my Dude Missed Award.
Yeah, Dude Missed. And, but I think if I had to pick one, I would probably pick Pillars.
Okay.
With a second tier, that's probably Soma. Mm-hmm. Soma and Wasteland,
which I both really loved. Exactly. I was gonna say Wasteland too. Yeah. I did really, really enjoy that one and managed to get all the way through it.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel kind of unfair, because, like, it might be that the collector's edition that fixed some of the kind of jank.
Yeah, that's true.
In Wasteland 2, like, could have been perfect, but I just haven't played that because I played it right when it came out.
Well, yeah, that's what they get for not getting it right out the door.
That's totally true. Soma and Pillars of Eternity, Wasteland 2 are probably, I would be comfortable putting those in the top three shuffle.
I'm up for that.
With Isaac lording over them.
100% from on high. 100% up for that. Yep. I will agree with that list. Comrade stamp of approval or whatever.
Yep. Wonderful games. Very good year for games.
Yeah, this was such a good year. We covered a lot of really good stuff. So thank you guys for listening to us throughout the whole year. This episode is coming out at the start of the year, but there's going to be a little bit of break before we get our kind of next real episode out in 2016. We just want to take some time.
We're gonna try to get ahead a little bit, and then we can maybe do maybe beat more of the games, and then we're gonna do a couple things like Talos Principle and Matter Circle and stuff that are longer games for us. You know, they're not like something you can just pop in and get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're things we actually want to beat. So we're gonna take a little bit of break, but we'll be back probably in like February.
If we'll see how it goes.
Late January, February probably.
Yep. Typical wrap-up stuff, the Patreon, the Twitter, the Facebook. You guys have been listening to all this stuff. You wouldn't want to check out just this episode alone. So thank you guys for listening to us all year. We'll see you again next year. Have a nice holiday, and
have a nice Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
Indeed. Good night.